Today our message will be on Elijah. We're going to look at this man Elijah, and I believe he is one of the examples that God gives us of prayer, and we can see some of his experiences from the Word. What is it that made him unique? What is it that made him stand out? And so it's more of a profile-based kind of teaching. So we look at the man Elijah. So let's quickly go to James chapter 5. If you need, anyone needing a Bible, I can give this. And I also have another Bible, a King James. Okay.
Yes. You can use this one. Either is fine.
Okay, good. Okay, fine. So let's quickly jump to James chapter 5. And we're going to read. I like that. You're reading in your proper, the language you fully understand. Mother tongue. Great. Yeah, so we're going to read from verse 13. James chapter 5 from verse 13. We'll read up to 20, 13 to 20. James chapter 5, verse 13 to 20. I don't know if someone is there who wants to read. Funke, you can read for us.
James 5, 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and won't convert him, let him know that he which converted the sinner from the error of his way shall save his soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins.
Amen. So I just want to pick two key verses that are there. 3. Verse 16, the second part says that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth brought her fruit. Now, just looking at a different version, I love the way it says in New Living Translation, it says that the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. And it says that Elijah was as human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then when he prayed again, the sky sent. And then just amplified, it also gives it in a different version. It says, the heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man, in bracket a believer, is able to accomplish much when put into action and made effective by God. It is dynamic and can have tremendous power. And then it says that Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. That means he had the same physical, mental, and spiritual limitations and shortcomings. And he prayed intensely for it not to rain. And it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky gave rain, and the land produced its crop as usual. So, when I wanted to ask, what do you think when you hear of Elijah? what comes to your mind? What are some of the things that make you think of Elijah? I mean, for those who know the story of Elijah, what are some of the notable things that you can think of his life? This is open discussion. Uh-huh. What great thing do you think does the Bible mention about Elijah? Okay, what do you know about him, Ralph?
He was a prophet.
Okay, he was a prophet. Uh-huh, good.
And he was used by God to speak judgments upon, you know, to the king when that time the king had married a wicked queen, Jezebel.
Yeah, Jezebel. Uh-huh.
So they were the false prophets of who were worshipping Baal.
Okay.
Through Jezebel.
Yeah.
And he was, but Elijah, he stood firm.
Okay.
Against, and there was a time when he actually challenged, you know, Jezebel, mm-hmm. Baal, and the prophets to say, if your God, let's see who is the true God.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I'll end there for the sake of others.
Okay. You don't finish everything. Okay, someone else, he's mentioned a good things. He was a prophet. He was in the time of King Ahab and Jezebel. Jezebel was a wicked queen, and King Ahab as well also followed suit. Unfortunately, because if you're pushed into it, you're also in the same boat. And he challenged the prophets of Baal.
Yeah.
So that means that Israel at that time were worshipping idols,
yeah.
And they were worshipping the god of Baal, which was called Baal. And which was more of a fertility god and something for the harvest and things like that. So they were worshipping that god. And so that was the time of Israel. Uh-huh. So someone else wants to add on. What do you think of when you think of Elijah? Why is this name so great? Eh? You know, like there are people in the Bible who the name carries weight. You get me? Yes. Okay, I see.
Elijah, I think growing up, what I knew, Elijah was... He's very straightforward.
I like that.
When he does it, when he says, this is what God told me, children were mocking him, and he was like, said, you're bald.
Mm.
And he said, you know what, I curse you, and bears came and ate the children. He's very straightforward like that. And then when the king, you know, he was always in conflict with the government, in saying that you guys are not following God. And so they sent soldiers, and he just said, you know what, I'm sitting gently on my hill. You sent the first batch of soldiers, fire burnt the first batch. They sent another batch, fire burnt the second batch. The third batch came and then applied wisdom and said, you know what, I'm just a messenger, I beg you,
please, go
please don't kill my men, for the sake of my men. And he said, okay, I will come down and talk to him. And I think for him, he got to a point that he, even after all he had done, he was also scared. When he got to a point, he actually had to run away. And he ran into the wilderness, and God said he had to send the ravens for a period of time to feed him. So it was the birds that were bringing him food every day.
Yeah.
And then when it was time again, he said, okay, it's time to come out again. And all that time of the 3 years, he prayed for no rain. He was in exile, practically.
Okay.
So it wasn't like he stood there with the consequences of his actions or his prayers. Because he also suffered, because they were looking for him, because they knew he was the one who was responsible for that event. And so he had to come back again and say, okay, now we're going to pray, we're going to do these certain things. And so I think he was in touch with God, even though at times he had his own
weaknesses.
And then at the end, he was one of the ones that was taken up.
Mm-hmm.
And
very important.
He did not die.
He went straight to heaven. He was carried to heaven with a chariot of fire.
Two men in the Bible.
Yeah.
Another one was Enoch.
Yeah. Two people,
Elijah.
Yeah, two people never died. Yeah, Enoch and Elijah. Okay, good.
I think he was, I would say, describe him as a courageous man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's so difficult, especially when you have people in authority over you. And you are speaking directly. Like, imagine you are going to your country representative and you are saying, this is not good. This should not be done, you know. But he had the boldness to even just go there and declare, to say, that says the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, change your ways or else there will not be any rain.
Sure.
And he made that declaration.
Sure.
I think it's boldness, but like Farouk said, also Fumi said, the problem is sometimes he was also man, like the Bible says, that verse that we read to say he was also
a man
of flesh.
Yes.
And at one point he was also intimidated by Jezebel. So it also shows us that as much as we are full of the Holy Spirit, we are full of power, there are times whereby maybe you also need the encouragement from other people.
Yes.
Because you can be discouraged. And the Lord encouraged Elijah in his time of need.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah,
yes.
I have the story of
Elijah.
Because he was very much courageous leader. Sometimes I tell the story about this, but he was the sometimes hero. You know?
Mm.
He played the role as a hero. But another time, you know, he also prayed to God.
Kill me.
he also played from his. Yeah, you know, sometimes. Sometimes we do that. And just 2 days ago, it was happening in my life.
Mm.
I said, step forward, but I feel that I did not do it. It was not good for me. But yeah, it was good in my life.
Okay.
Sometimes. Many people appreciate me, and some people, they discourage me also.
Mm. Yeah.
But finally, I love the life of Elijah.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So I'll highlight some of the key areas where he's mentioned, and such that we can just flow with the story, and then we will then draw some learnings from him. Number one, some of the key achievements in 1 Kings 17 verse 1-2, he just actually the first mention of Elijah in the Bible is that he just appeared and said, in the name of the God in whom I stand, there shall be no rain. For three, there shall be no rain or dew. You can imagine, no rain and not even dew. You know, in the morning you expect some morning dew. Now imagine how dry it was. That's 1 Kings 17 verse 1. It says, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as long as the Lord of God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew, no rain this year, but according to my word. Ask yourself, who gets that courage to just come and stand before a king and say, as long as, because of the God of Israel, before whom I stand. So he's telling you his place of authority. You know, nowadays some people say, oh, there's not going to be rain. But they don't stand in the presence of God. They are not in God's presence. They are not praying to God. They don't have a relationship with God. So, of course, they will say they are prophets, but whatever they say will not come to pass. Because it's coming from their mind, it's coming from their emotions, it's coming from their desires. And so that's why you see people complain. And nowadays with Facebook, anything you say, they capture it, right? And they quickly portray how you're a false prophet. Nowadays it is... in fact, I think most preachers are even fearing to be on Facebook, because the moment you're in, everything you do is checked. So he comes and says, I am before the Lord God of Israel, before whom I stand. And the key word that I wanted you to get there is before whom I stand. And who else said that word before? When Angel Gabriel came. When he came to Zechariah, and Zechariah was asked, how will this be, how I am old, and then he told him, I am Gabriel and I stand in the presence of the Lord. So Elijah was telling this king, you see the way angels stand before God, I also stand there, and I am declaring that there shall be no dew or rain until by my word. But you see, the scriptures tell us that he did not just say it. Because, you know, the Bible helps us to understand. We've just read in James that the Bible says that he prayed earnestly that it should not rain. So his speaking did not just come from wishful thinking, but his speaking was backed by prayer. It was backed by his righteousness. It was backed by his earnestness. It was backed by his consistency. And his, you know, he had every emotion as he prayed. Because many times people pray to God, oh God, you know, I'm hungry today, I need food.
He made a strong prayer.
A strong prayer. That means that he believed that the person he's praying to, that God is praying to, hears. So you must, if you're praying to God and your heart is not in it, then it becomes religion. It just becomes, oh, you know, I need to say this prayer in the morning, in the evening, in the... So it's like, tick the box. I finish this. Because your heart is not there. And this is what Jesus was not happy with the Israelites. He said, these people, they worship me in vain. They worship me with their lips, but their hearts is far away. And he says that they worship me in vain. That means God is telling us that many times we can be praying, but as long as our heart is not in the prayer, then it is in vain. And rather, it will not do anything. It will just be another tick in the box. You know, at times when you're doing work, you say, just because the boss said, let me just tick the box. You just do it and fulfill all righteousness. But this is not the case. So Elijah could command that the rain not to come because he stands in the presence of God. The second thing that I want us to see of his life, the Bible says in from verse 2 of the same 1 Kings chapter 17, that the word of the Lord came to him saying, go and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan, and it shall be that you shall drink of the brook, and I have commanded ravens to feed you. So he went and did unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening. Let me use the word meat there. And he drank of the brook. So you can imagine. Sorry. No, it's okay. Let them play. So you can imagine, Elijah, God tells him, and that's one thing you have to see, at the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came to him. So you can see everything that Elijah did. First, he was a man of prayer. And then secondly, he was a man that was led by the voice of God. The word of the Lord came to him. So that tells us that a reason why we fail to succeed, or why the things that we are trusting God for does not happen, is because we do it without waiting to hear from God. So as he prayed to God, God gave him the word. And you see how God speaks to us in various ways, and later on we'll learn about how God speaks to us. But one of the ways that God speaks to us is just, he gives you, he speaks to your inner man. Inside you, you have an inner man. He speaks to your inner man, and you hear. And you hear something from God, and God gives you guidance over something. He can speak to your thoughts, he can speak to your ideas, he can speak to you in a dream, he can give you a vision, he can give you a message from someone. Someone can just out of the blues tell you something, and you'll be like, oh, that was the answer I was looking for. So God speaks in many, many ways, and is not limited. But the word of the Lord came to him. So for you to be led by God, you need to be in a place that you can hear the word of God. And you can hear the word of God. Even like in this session, as I'm preaching, God can give you an idea of something. And in that way, God has spoken to you, because God speaks when you are in his presence. Okay? So God told him, go. And you can imagine, he had water. Remember, there was no dew, there was no rain. But God took him to a place where there was water. Then, apart from that, he commands ravens. How many know ravens? This, when you go to the dustbin outside here, there are these blackbirds. You've seen them, the crows, the ravens. They are the most selfish. They are the most selfish. They're like vultures and hyenas. They don't leave anything behind. They're the most selfish of birds, but God commanded that they brought him bread and meat in the morning and in the evening, until a point when the brook dried. Now, look at that, how God provides. That means that God can use the unlikeliest of people to bless you. He can use even the hardest of bosses to promote you. The one who you think does not even like you at all. That might be the one who actually likes you, but because you are good, so they have to show you are not good. You know, there are people like that. Because you are good, you conflict with them because they see that you're better than them. So the only way they can do that is to squeeze you. So God can use even those people who you think are your enemies to bless you and to promote you. Okay? So God commanded ravens to feed him. Then, and I can imagine where was meat in that time. Ask yourself, in that time when there is that hunger, who is the only person who will have meat and bread?
The kings.
The kings. So he was eating the food. I believe the bread and the meat was coming from the king's table. Because who else can be having bread and meat? Now, that's besides the point. The third thing that happens is that God sends him to a widow in Zarephath. You see how God is mindful that despite him affecting everyone, you know, everyone was under judgment. Because that drought was not just for the king. The whole nation was under judgment. And you see, that's what happens when there is sin in a land, everyone suffers. But you see, there was a widow somewhere who's not even in Israel, because Zarephath is not even Israel. It's out. But God tells Elijah, go, I have commanded a widow in Zarephath to provide for you. Now, the widow herself does not know that God has provided, has commanded her to provide. Because Elijah goes to her and says, woman, go and get me some water. And then she obeys. She starts to go. And then because she has started to obey, then I believe Elijah realizes this is the woman because she's obedient. Then he says, as you are going, please make for me some cake and bring for me as you're coming. Then the woman is like, hey, now there you have gone too far. What I can give you? But she's like, as surely as the Lord lives, I can assure you that I have only a little oil and a little flour. And I just need to make that. We eat one meal with my son, and then we die. Have you ever been in a point where it's the last money, it's the last job, it's the last month of the contract, it's the last, you've got no idea what will come. And this is where that widow was. And that is how God remembered her. And the reason I believe even the brook dried is because Elijah, yes, could have been fed by the ravens. But that widow needed a miracle. So wherever you are, and God needs to give you a miracle, he'll find you. And God found that widow. And so, and why was that widow found? Because she was obedient. She was willing to share. She was obedient. And she said, but then what did Elijah say? As surely as the Lord lives, I can assure you that oil and that flour will never run dry. And she went, cooked. It was enough. I can imagine she will pour the oil, it doesn't finish. She can cook the bread, it doesn't finish. The next day, it has increased. The next day, it is increased. The next day, it is increased. You can imagine how God can multiply. Now, you see, all these are representations of some of the notable achievements of Elijah. Then, something happens. Sadly, this woman's child dies. This woman's child dies. And then she feels that, oh, I am being judged because of my sin. And then she tells Elijah, why have you brought remembrance to my sin? Now my son has died. Then Elijah goes and prays for the boy. And the boy comes back to life. And we're talking about a man just like you. don't start thinking of Elijah as there. Now, remember, the Bible is telling us that Elijah was a man just like you and me, just as human as we are, subject to our own challenges, subject to our own limitations, subject to our own difficulties. So that happened. So he stayed with Zarephath, with the widow in Zarephath. Then when you go to chapter 18, the Bible says that the word of the Lord came to him again, that go and tell Ahab that rain is coming. So you can see in everything, there was nothing that Elijah didn't do without the word of God. Go and tell Ahab that rain is coming. So now he decides he will make it even more dramatic. He says, okay, he goes to Ahab, he tells him, go and bring all your prophets. Go go and bring all your prophets. Then he tells Jezebel brings her prophets, 450, you can imagine. Then he tells the people of Israel, all Israel come to Mount Carmel. And he says, how long will you waver between two opinions? How long will you decide? How long will you keep going to Baal, going to Jehovah, God of Israel? Decide. If God is God, let us worship him. If Baal is God, let us worship him. But let us prove who is God. He says, we are going to have an altar. You're going to make a sacrifice. You're going to bring two bulls. I kill one, you kill one. Then put it on the altar. And you're going to cry to Baal. If Baal answers by fire, sends fire from heaven to burn your sacrifice, then he's God. We should worship him. And I also am going to pray to God. If God brings fire from heaven and burns the sacrifice, then we should worship God. So now he told them, you start. They started from morning, and he was telling, oh, maybe your God is sleeping. Cry some more. They cried. Then they even start cutting themselves. You know, imagine religious people. They start cutting themselves, pouring blood, crying. Then at lunchtime, he reads them. Maybe he's has gone for a journey. Pray some more. Cry some more. They continue. Until evening, he said, are you defeated? Then they kept quiet. Then he said, aside. Then he put his altar. He raised it. He used 12 stones. Then he cut the meat. He put it. Then on top of that, he makes trenches around it. Then he pours water. Can you imagine how to make it hard? It's not that the meat now is dry. He pours water until it fills the trenches. And then he says, God, who answers by fire? And fire came, burnt the sacrifice, burnt the altar, burnt even the water. And then people say, this is God. The God of Israel is God. And they are ready to worship. Then he said, now gather all those false prophets. And they were all killed. All were killed. So now Israel that day could see and were demonstrated to that God is God. See the miracle that he's doing. It's okay. That is the beauty of children. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, baby. It's okay. Yeah. Sorry. It's okay. Let them play. Yeah. So God answers by fire, and they kill the prophet of Baal. But then now something happens. Ahab goes back to tell Jezebel. Tells Jezebel, this is what prophet has done, Elijah. He has killed all your prophets. Then Jezebel, I believe, was not just a wicked queen. She must have even been having witchcraft or something. Because she sent word to Elijah, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do to you the same thing you have done by evening tomorrow. Elijah had. Can you imagine? The guy killed 450, but the word of one woman, the guy took off. he ran until the place he reached. Then he went under a tree. Eh? It's called a briar tree. And he slept under it and said, let me die. You can imagine how depression hits. You have just had a great victory. You've just received a great success. Yeah. Then one thing the enemy does is to scare you. You've just gotten a new promotion, a new thing. Then you get word that your daughter or your child is sick. And the child is admitted. And you're like, but what is this? And then you fear. Or you're told, oh, this person is wicked. Oh, this boss is bad. And then all your highs come crashing down. And this is how we human beings are. You know, the beauty of the Bible is that the Bible never hid anything. It tells us the truth as it is. This is their history. This is the history of these people. They struggled. Abraham lied when he went with his wife somewhere. He said, no, this is my sister. It's showing us that even we ourselves, we go through such moments of struggles, of weaknesses, such moments of depression, such moments when we feel alone. And he felt alone. Yes, he was a mighty prophet. He was powerful. He had just seen a done a great miracle. But at the threat of one woman, he was down. And he said, I'm not better than my fathers. Let me die. Now, immediately he says that and sleeps. Then what happens? God wakes him up. God sends an angel. Wake up. And then there was bread and I don't know what, cooking. He said, get up and eat. So sometimes the problem of depression is food. Just eat. Eat some food. Sometimes it's hunger. He was all eat. Then he ate. And then he slept again. He was woken up. Eat again. The journey is long. Now this tells you that this was food from heaven. This was spiritual food. Because after that, the Bible says he walked for 40 days and 40 nights. You can imagine. So he did not eat. He fasted. Now you see that, you can see that's a supernatural strength and fast. He went for 40 days because God told him, go and meet me there. And so he goes to the mountain. And then God, and then he's waiting to hear God's voice. Then there is wind, there is earthquake, there is fire, and God is not there. And then he hears a small, still voice. And then he covers his face. And then God asks him, what are you doing here? He said, oh, you know, I'm the only prophet. They have killed all the prophets. Then God told him, you think you're the only one? I have 7,000 who I have kept for myself, who have not bowed to Baal. Now go back the same way, look for Elisha. And appoint him to replace you. You can see how God can replace you in an instant. Go on to Elijah and let him be your successor. Number two, go and appoint Jehu as the king in place of Ahab, because he was going to destroy Jehu. He's going to destroy Ahab. And he still go back the same way you came. So the guy goes back and he finds Elisha. And then we know the whole story of how he takes up Elisha. Then eventually he's taken up to heaven, and that we've covered. I wanted us to see the history of his life. Then I want us to see how he was revered in Israel. In the book, the prophets in Malachi, what they say is that God will send this prophet, the spirit of Elijah will come again before the Messiah. Before the coming of the Messiah. So the Israelites believed that Elijah must come back again before Jesus comes back, before the Messiah comes. And so the Bible, when John the Baptist is being born, the angel told Zechariah that he will come in the spirit and power of Elijah. Can you imagine a man with all his weaknesses, with all his struggles, God recognizes and acknowledges, and he grows to the point where he is a representative of a move of God on the earth. That when you speak of Elijah, you speak of prayer. He is known as a man of prayer and as a man of action, as a man who can confront the system, and a man of miracles. So John the Baptist came in the same anointing and the same spirit of Elijah. And that is why when John came, you can see how he was confronting the king, confronting the Pharisees, calling them vipers. Can you imagine, you call the pastors and the priests, you go to church and say, you brood of snakes. They will not be happy with you, right? And that's what he was doing. That he was coming in the same. And the good thing, he showed the greatest, which I believe was pointing people to Christ. He also confronted Herod. Sadly, his head was chopped off. I think John the Baptist did not know the prophecy of his life. Because yes, he moved in the spirit, but he did not move in the power. Because I believe if Elijah called down fire, John the Baptist should have been able to call down fire on the guys coming to cut his head. But you remember, he was discouraged, even in prison. Here he was sent to ask Jesus, are you the one, or are there others? Are we waiting for someone else? Then remember again, Elijah appears again when Jesus is transfigured on the mountain. Moses and Elijah appear, and they talk with Jesus, and they tell him what is going to happen. So Elijah represents all the prophets. Moses represents all the law, the books of the law. So Elijah what the Bible is telling us, that he was a man like you and me. But what stands out about his life? Number one, he loved the presence of God. He stood in the presence of God. Number two, about Elijah, he was a man of prayer. We can see. Number three also is that he waited for the leading of the Lord. That means he was always led by the voice of God. He waited for the voice of, before he did anything. He wanted to know the will of God. And this is how we should live. We should know what does God say about anything, because the scriptures give us the will of God. What does God say about marriage? What does God say about money? What does God say about how to live with your family? How to live with your children? How to raise your children? What does God's word say? So Elijah lived by the word of God. Another important thing, Elijah was not ashamed of the gospel. He was not ashamed of God. And he was not ashamed to speak and to confront the things that were not right. And his farm was very clear. He led people back to God. And he told people, you know, choose today. But for me, the thing that really, that we're seeing from his heart is that he was extremely fervent. He was extremely honest. He was persistent in his prayer. And I think the part I've missed is where he was praying for the rain to come back. The Bible says that God told him, yes, rain is coming. But he did not just leave that prophetic word as it is. He went and prayed it until it manifested. You see, that's the problem with many Christians. You're told, God tells you something. But you don't know that you have a part to pray until it comes to pass. So when even God reveals to you that you're going to be maybe a manager or something like that, if you leave it, you don't know that there are things that fight against such things. So Elijah went and prayed, and the Bible says 7 times. You can imagine, one time he prays, then he says, go and look at the sky. Is there anything? He prays again. He puts his head between his knees. He prays. He sends the servant, go and check. Nothing. He prayed the 3rd time. The 4th time. Many of us, if we have prayed the 1st time, we give up. Nothing has happened. You see the man. He prayed once, it didn't happen. 2, it didn't happen. And yet God has told him the same thing will happen. 3, it doesn't happen. 4, it doesn't happen. 5, it doesn't happen. 6, it doesn't happen. 7. Then the servant tells him, I see a small cloud the size of the fist of a man. Can you imagine how small that cloud is? Think of your hand like this. Then you can imagine you are seeing that cloud there. And is this size. And then the Bible says, he told the servant, go and tell Ahab to run. Then he tied his cloak and he ran and overtook. Now you can imagine, first of all, I was thinking, how did even that servant see that size of the cloud? And that tells you that time it was so dry that there was no even cloud that could even appear. But the Bible tells us Elijah was a man just like us. I don't know what it is you're confronting. I don't know what situations you're facing. I don't know what challenges you're facing at work, with your family, maybe your parents, maybe your children, maybe a sick relative, maybe a sick child, maybe a lack of a job, maybe contracts are coming to an end. I mean, there's so much happening around us. There's so many things happening. But, or even opposition in the workplace, opposition in religion, opposition in how you worship, in how you pray. But what we see is that the secret to this man, that out of everything that God, that the Bible chooses to remember, it does not help us remember. The Old Testament gives us everything. But the New Testament only reminds us of one thing, his prayer. So unless we recognize that God meets us and prayer is the core of a believer, we are going to live powerless lives in this earth. And there'll be no difference between you and another person from any other religion. What's the difference between you and someone who prays to a tree? Because you don't depend on God, you don't hear from God, you don't go to the source of a relationship, you're not praying to God for him to answer you. Then the person who is praying to a tree, there's no difference. But anyone who knows that as believers, we are not alone. We've been given great power that can change. So my encouragement to us today is that pray. Pray. And prayer is a discipline. That's all I'll tell you. Discipline yourself. Even if it is 5 minutes a day, give it 5 minutes. But put all your heart in that 5 minutes. Don't think of ice cream and cake in the fridge and what you're going to cook later on. Put all your heart. You understand? Like, make sure you are in a place that you focused, that this is the time that I dedicate for prayer. Even as a family, have a time that you dedicate as a family to just pray. Even if it is 10 minutes, let it be consistent 10 minutes. If it is 30 minutes, let it be consistent 30 minutes. If it is 1 hour, and what you'll realize, as you do that, even that 5 minutes will not be enough. You'll realize you've got so much to pray. After some time, you'll realize even 10 minutes is not enough. Even 30 minutes is not enough. Even 1 hour is not enough. That is because you've gone deeper. When Jesus told Peter, launch out into the deep. Go into the deep. Go deeper. Go deeper. There is so much in God that we are yet to explore. There is so much to go in God that we are yet to find out. There is so much that God wants to do with your life. You might think you have so many shortcomings, but I assure you, Elijah was a man just like us. But he purposed to know his God in a deeper way. And for me, that is a message that God has placed in my heart. And you're welcome for any reflections or any questions. For me, I welcome questions. I know in most preachings you might not have the chance, but feel free to reflect or even, I mean, what God is speaking in your heart based on this message. And I believe that God will bless us. So you're welcome.